It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to this week's episode of River City 93. I'm a happy Jamaican fan qualifying for the next stage of the Gold Cup. And Matt is a happy USMNT fan qualifying for the next round of the Gold Cup. So, but we're also two very happy Kickers fans because we saw two great goals against that Chattanooga team. It always feels good to beat them. How are you, Matt?
Doing good. You know, two goals, 3 points. Like you said, you know, national, you know, team stuff too. But always club first.
Yeah, it is. It's always a good weekend when the national teams do good. But it's a better weekend when the Kickers do good. And first and foremost, let's start off with this, man. We had an hour and a half rain delay. Game day to kick off. I think it was getting ready to do the national anthem. They were just like, yeah, we got to shut walk up the stands.
Yeah, I mean, you could see it coming. Like, there's big old, you know, dark cloud, you know, over the stadium all through, you know, warm-ups and everything. And then, yeah, they start and make the announcement. At first, it's one of those things where it's like, really, we're doing this? And then, like, a few minutes later, okay, I see lightning now. I get it.
Yeah.
But thankfully, it passed through pretty quick. What I think is the real takeaway here is how many people stuck around after the rain delay?
I'm not gonna lie, I am shocked. I asked Chris at the end of the game when we were walking out. I was like, "Yo, how many? What's the official attendance?" He was like, "Yo, we almost hit 6K. Like, I think he said it was 5.8."
Yeah, they announced, I think, like 5,802 or something like that.
Yeah, I was like, oh, snap. Like, for real. And I asked him the question because we always talk about it on here, but like, what is an official sellout for the Kickers? He was like, an official sellout is 6. Right. He was like, they were trending upward, and then it just stopped like the last 2 days. But that's amazing.
Yeah, and most, I got to imagine, most of that 5,800 was actually there at the game afterwards. Like, yeah, I'm absolutely certain some people left.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, just bailed, but I'd be surprised if there weren't 5,000 people still in the stands, you know, when the game was up and going.
Oh yeah.
How many times in the past have you had we've seen those rain delay games and then it's like 200 people left over after that?
Oh yeah. Then I swear, like, sometimes I go back and look at photos of, like, what the Red Army and what the stands look like back in, like, 2019, 2018. I never would imagine 5.8. Like, our regular attendance is, like, 5K. Like, that's insane.
It makes the game so much more fun, too.
It does. Like, the atmosphere last night was really good, especially Section O. The standout for Richmond, done to Bob Marley, was – that's probably my favorite chip now. That was good. That was a good one.
Yeah, it's good to mix that one up after a while. I think, I mean, not to get in a big old diatribe about this, I feel like the issue with the other one is the drums would drown it out all the time. Nobody could hear a word that anybody was actually saying.
Yeah, true. Yeah, maybe so. Where was I going to go with this? Let's talk about it. Let's talk about what happened on the field. Lineup-wise, Darren stuck with the 4-4-2 diamond. As I mentioned to you last night, because we were standing beside each other in Section O, I think I'm becoming a sicko because I am actually liking this formation a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's producing good things so far, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think the other reason why I'm liking this formation is because it favors what the team has right now, like what the current group of this team is. Like, there's not, outside of O'Wayne, there's not a pure winger on this team to play the 4-3-3. And with this 4-4-2 diamond, you get the best out of Zhao, Suko, Neil, and Zaka. They all can do their parts and all can do their jobs. And you get Emmy directly in the middle where he wants to be, and you get Ryan, who kind of drifts and does kind of the more heavy leg work up front. And it kind of opens up the channels a little bit more for the fullbacks.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you kind of made reference to this, you know, Owen, I think, you know, the one probably hardest done by the change, you know, right now, because he's probably not, you know, the top choice at really anywhere at the moment. And like, he could probably play one of the forward slots, but like, even when you switch it up, like, I feel like, you know, Belmar and Bentley are more natural fits for, you know, either of the you know, the lead forward, or, you know, kind of the support forward where Emmy's been playing.
Yeah.
So he might be, you know, an unfortunate victim of this, but if, you know, we do need to mix it up, you know, slide him in there and we can easily shift back into a 4-3-3. But overall, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's playing to a lot of guys' strengths, you know, right now. You know, the midfielders, you know, especially with Zhao emerging, you know, they've shown that, you know, pretty strong players, you know, for this team, and, you know, productive, you know, players, and it gets them all more minutes. And I think the, you know, other thing that, you know, you mentioned there is that it's putting, you know, opening up the wings for the fullbacks quite a bit more. Mm-hmm. And certainly on Saturday, it looks like Chattanooga, you know, their idea was, okay, you know, just like in any game, you can't take everything away from an opposition. And what they were comfortable, you know, giving up is letting, you know, Simon just run free on that right side pretty much anytime he wanted to. And, you know, kind of challenging, you know, the guys were like, all right, this guy can beat us, so be it, but we're going to try to take away anything else. And I mean, it didn't directly come because of that, but yeah, I think he, you know, did a pretty decent job of, you know, getting up there and, you know, being able to really, you know, affect the attack, you know, from his right back position.
Yeah, there were a few there were a few moments from like Meacham and Simon that were like you gotta cross the ball better, or obviously I didn't realize it because I went to the supporters meeting on Wednesday, which actually was really cool. It was at Three Notches. But I got a chance to talk to Meacham, and me and him were just chatting up, and I asked him a question. I was like, so how are you like playing left back? Like, you're doing a real good job there. Didn't realize it. Meacham is not left-footed. He was like, nah, I'd rather play right back. But he was like, Simon's doing such an amazing job there. I know I can get the right back spot, so I'm learning how to play left back. Didn't realize it. Then when I watched the game on Saturday, I realized, like, oh, snap, he is controlling and trying to distribute most of these passes with his right foot.
That's a good catch, because I didn't really notice. I knew, you know, when he was at you know, playing college ball at Denver, that he'd played both sides.
Yeah.
So I just figured he was a guy who can switch him back and forth without a problem. But I think, you know, credit to him, because, well, we're halfway through the season and we're just now noticing this and picking it up, and it's only because he outright told you.
Yeah, he outright told me. And I was like, for real? Like, I just assumed you were just natural lefty. Like, playing with, like, little things like that. Like, what was it? I think there was a moment Meacham was trying to control the ball. And naturally, like, you're a left footer. Like, if Hornsby was there, you let that ball roll across the ball, you play with your left, and you play it right up the field. But there was a lot of times how Meacham, he would control it with his right and then switch it to his left. And, like, that split second, like, the pass would be closed out because former Richmond kicker, Roddy Kraft, you pointed out to me, was playing right back in this game. And there was a lot of times that you could see Riley would just shift, like, right in front of Neil. Like, as soon as Meacham was ready to control it, then he would have to pass it back to Dakota, and then Dakota would go long. So that was just kind of funny to see, you know, like, when I was noticing it, picking up, I was like, oh, okay. Like, that's why. But outside of that, I mean, both of them did an amazing job. I think I mean, we talked about before, like the thing we want them to mostly work on is like their attacking output and fine tuning all those those final passes. But outside of that, man, they shut down the wings for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to think of too much, you know, real danger that Chattanooga provided. So, yeah, I think the other thing to really be able to mention about, you know, the 11 that played the majority of the game was that, you know, Akira wasn't out there. You know, Will Palmquist, you know, was playing. I guess, you know, I think Akira was, you know, sick, picked up a knock, something like that during the week. But, you know, Will didn't have a ton to do. He had, you know, a couple, like, you know, long range shots to deal with, but he handled those relatively comfortably. You know, one of them, you know, ended up going into the post, you know, on it, which probably didn't feel great.
It was a good, I ain't gonna lie. It was a really good save from him, but I was a little concerned for him for a moment.
Yeah. It was a good save, but also one that if he didn't make it, I think we would have been like, dude, come on.
Right. I think we kind of put him back in like, all right, you're not in the visa territory. But you're close.
But where are you at, Akira? Yeah.
Yeah, who are you out there? Man, let's talk about Will for a second. Obviously, he had a lot of good appearances. I think the thing that he is – let me ask this. Okay, I'm trying to figure out how to ask this question to you. Do you think Akira is looking at him as like, we're going to let you – like, we're cool with you letting you play against the bottom feeders of USL League One now? So Akira can have the rest to be prepared for the upper echelon teams like the NCFCs, the Charlottes, and whatnot. Do you think that the level of comfortability with them?
I think Darren's the kind of coach where, you know, if he's comfortable with you, he's comfortable with you, and you know he'll be fine with you playing a FUE or he'll be fine with you playing, you know, North Carolina.
Okay.
Right. So I don't think he's going to look at it that way. And you know, the times Will has played has been times when Akira was not available, you know, paternity leave, you know, getting kicked in the face, you know, whatever the issue was this weekend, because I think we've only had, what, one game where, you know, Will was playing and Akira was just on the bench, and that was that away NoCo game.
I think so.
No.
I feel like it was a home game, too. It might have been.
Yeah, maybe it was like when he was on the paternity leave and he was just on the bench, but Will was still playing during that stretch.
That's what I'm thinking of. That's all. How many more games do you think he played this season?
Three.
Probably the same there. For him, I'm looking more so at probably like minutes. Like if he can rack up maybe another 300-ish minutes, I think that'd be a good quality season for him.
You know? Well, if he's playing three more games, that's 270 more minutes because if he's in 300 minutes, I mean, he has to, you know, either play four, you know, definitely have to play four games, and either that's four starts or he's coming out as a sub, and I'm not interested in getting extended sub minutes.
Well, I'm thinking about how Darren did it last year where he just brought on
Cosby. He did both of them, yeah.
Yeah, for like, it was like one minute. The whole game was like, all right, go play. Maybe something like that be closer to 300 that way. If that happens, that means the Kickers are having a great season, which is fantastic. Dakota and Audie had a really good game, solid. I think I did mention it to you. There's moments in after the first PK that happened. You know, Richmond kind of. What I'm realizing now about Richmond is if they go up a goal, they want to hold on to possession. They won't force anything. Because there was a couple of chances of like, if Neil's breaking through, I think we both called it out, where like he had Ryan breaking through the back line. And it was like, you can play that ball there, but they say he cuts it back, passes it a little sideways, it kind of slows down possession. As much as I love Ani, there's some times where I feel like he forces things. Or, like, he overcommits and then he gets himself into situations where he doesn't need to be. Like, there was an instance of, like, a slide tackle in the second half that he tries to slide tackle on the ball, miss, like, whiffs on it completely. Chattanooga player breaks through. Goodness. He takes a bad shot on goal. But it's moments like that where I'm like, all right, Audie, you got to reel it in just a little bit.
Yeah, he can be part of, you know, maybe a, you know, Hollywood, you know, type moment. You know, once a game or so, which I think is ironic because if you just look at him and Dak outside of the game. You would think it would be the complete opposite. You think that Dakota would be the flashy guy, kind of get the big time shine, and I mean, on the field they seem almost total opposite of that.
Which is so wild, because if you look at it, if you look at how they are off the field, like Dakota looks like a substitute teacher the way he dresses at the games. Dakota is like coming in with like the fedoras and the bad boy, and on the field they are total opposites. You want to talk about the PK that happened, the first one?
Let's do it.
All right. First PK. No other way how to describe it than other Chattanooga player decide to wrestle Dakota to the ground in the second half. I've watched it back, and I do not understand any reason why the Chattanooga player is being so physical with Dakota.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's coming straight off of, an Ani long throw. And Dakota's basically, parked, on the, goal line, like 7-8 yards, from goal. So even if the ball gets to him, I don't know where he's going with that.
No. Because if the ball gets to Dakota in that spot, only thing Dakota's going to have to do is either try to shift that ball back into the space. But even then, it's getting headed out. So it's like, why are you wrapping your arms around Dakota and pulling him to the ground? Like, it makes no sense.
Because he's a hero. That's why.
Yeah.
Chattanooga man's a hero.
Sure. I think I did. I tweeted out at halftime. I was like, section O goals are coming. And I was so happy. Because to see Emmy put another emphatic penalty in the back of that, and it was funny because Chattanooga's goalkeeper was like pointing at the corner. He was like, put it here. And Emmy definitely put it right there past him. Seven goals. So I think he's third right now, tied for third on a golden boot race. So
yeah, he's up to seven now, and leaders are on eight.
Yeah. This is also funny because Emmy's doing all this with no assist. So
that's standard Emmy.
Right. Like, he's going like prime Kobe. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna put up 42. I'm not passing this ball.
Not what he's getting. He doesn't get paid to pass.
No, not at all. Not at all. I did put out the tweet, and I'm going to stand by it. If Emmy gets golden boot, I will dye my hair blonde. I will dye blonde. I'm just saying, man. Like, that man will. If Emmy wins this golden boot again, from where he started the season off with to his fourth golden boot, at that point, we just got to name this trophy after him.
I'm down. So, given this, this is tempting fate, but I feel like we're safe from our, off-season declarations of if the Kickers actually finish 11th, like the models, had them early on that all buy Madison jerseys and wear them in public.
We tweet out memes. We're top of the league.
I'm pretty confident we're not going to finish 11th at this point.
Yeah, I'm confident in that. Yeah.
How confident are you feeling about Bleach?
I'm like 60% there.
All right.
I'm trying to just like, I don't want to root against Emmy, but I'm also just like, if he wins it, that means we're in the playoffs, and that's a win in my book.
Yeah. So to fast forward, 20, 30 minutes. How are you feeling when the second PK gets called?
Actually, at that point, I was like, oh, snap, he's really about to tie the league. But the thing about the second PK, I was confused at first. I was like, oh, wait, Emmy's not taking it? Like, why is he not taking it? And then he passes it off to Neil. And then I realized, like, oh, snap, Neil hasn't scored this year yet. Like, I don't think Neil had a goal or an assist yet this year. He had one assist, but no goal yet, which is unlike him. But just to take it back, even for that, how this PK happens, I don't know what the Chattanooga defender was thinking, but when Sarakowski gets the ball, he's going into the, I think he receives it from Fitch.
And it was from one of the central midfielders. I can't remember which one right now.
Okay. Well, I know he gets the ball. He's going into the box. But for where Sarakowski's at, the only thing he can do with it is try to dribble past you, and only you have to do is stand him up and not foul. And he's either going to try to cut this ball back, and it's going to get cut out. What the Chattanooga does is the complete worst thing you can do. Just 2 foot in. It was just like, I'm just going to put 2 feet into this and hope for the best. And chops down Sarakowski. And it was just like, granted, all of us were hiding in section O, but we all looked at each other and was like, that was stupid. Like, why?
Another hero.
Right. It was like you just bailed us out for what? I understand Cash had Jimmy coming, and by far he has not had a great welcome back to USL League One.
No, we're in the Venmo era now.
Yeah, we're there now. Because his reign started off with a 5-1 loss and a 2-2 comeback, lucky win against Charlotte, and now this 2-0 loss to us. And it just seemed like his team was just a self-destructible based on fouls like that, man. And I mean, honestly, like, this team was trending in the kicker's way because I would say the kickers probably had the more dangerous set of chances. There were some chances that Richmond had that we should have had more. And we should have, how can I put this, not over dribble. You know, like, definitely the chance that for us in the second half where, like, I think, who is it? I think is it Sarakowski or Suko had it? But, in the last second, they were getting ready to shoot, but they just cut it back into the box, and it misses somebody's foot.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that doesn't narrow it down too much, because I feel like something like that happened quite a few times. Ani had quasi-scissor kick that almost trickled in off of a corner. Dakota had, I thought in real time just looked like a run-of-the-mill shot. The replay was a lot closer to going in than I realized. Mm-hmm. Nice little worm burner that had a little bit of a bend on it. So there are some other looks. I do feel like there are a couple other ones that we've seen a few times this year where the ball gets into the box in like a really good spot and our guys just can't get on the end of it.
Yeah. Or it's like they kind of over dribble it a little bit where it's like just take the shot and they're trying to like, oh, I'm going to make that. Like you said a bunch of times, like they're trying to make the extra pass. And it's like, yo, just take the shot. Because it might end up being the extra pass because the goalkeeper's going to spill it. You shoot with enough power. Matter of fact, let's talk about this. Like, for Richmond themselves, why is the extra pass such a thing for them, when it comes in terms of build-up play? Like, they pass up the good shot for trying to get the great shot, and that great shot isn't always there,
I think probably part of it is you do have Emiliano Terzaghi, out there on the field. And we've talked about, Darren's talked about it. He's a guy who requires service. He's not a guy who's going to, dribble the whole team himself and, create something out of nothing on his own most of the time.
Yeah.
So, keeping your head up, looking to be able to see him and trying. I think sometimes, guys might see that little bit of a sliver of space and think, I can thread that. I can hit that, and they don't.
It just doesn't come off. I don't know. It's kind of that. I want to say it's frustrating at times. When they try to it's just take the chance. I will say this though, they did take some good chances outside of goal. I think Zaka had a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Neil took two. I think Jao had one. So, I mean, that's something that's happening where it's like now we're making the midfield more of a threat. We're like taking these chances, outside of the box. But before, it was just like if the front three aren't shooting it, no one else is going to shoot it more than likely.
Yeah, and sometimes you get rewarded for that.
Yeah.
So, I'm perfectly fine if they want to. Not always shoot those, but every, once in a while, take those looks.
Yeah, I know Dakota's going to listen to it. Dakota, you're allowed to take that shot again if you're a range. let's move on to the midfield. Zaka, Zuko. Like I said before, I mean, I say we got to protect Zaka at all costs, but you're right. Zaka does protect all of us by how much he covers and whatnot. Him and Zuko, man, that seemed like a marriage made in heaven, having them two in the same midfield. Like, I feel like what Ryan does for Emmy, Zuko kind of does the same for Zaka, in a sense.
Yeah, kind of lets them focus on, you know, what they're best at, you know, and not have to worry about, like, you know, now Zaka, I don't think he has to cover as much lateral space as he was, you know, before. He's able to, you know, be able to sit in the middle a bit more. And, you know, Zuko, I mean, you see him everywhere out there on the field. Like, I don't, you know, dude has a motor on him.
Does. Zuko can, like, I think he still might be at City Stadium right now, just going. Like, he'll cover so much space in, like, a minute. And he's just like, yo, I just saw him, like, covering this, and now he's on the other side doing that and whatnot. And then having Zhao is like the little energizer bunny that helps Neil out so much and frees up Neil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think they're doing a really good job of being complementary pieces to each other and, you know, understanding, you know, what their roles are, what they, you know, bring to the table, when to step up, when to slide back. And so far, so good.
Yeah, so far, so good. It's coming together perfectly. This is the second week we've seen this 4-4-2 diamond. Any improvements you've seen already based on last week? Because last week we were talking about it where it was like, all right, you can tell this is a new formation. Maybe it's not 90-minute ready. Did it look 90-minute ready this week to you?
I mean, it's hard to say no based off of, you know, 2-0 win where Chattanooga didn't really threaten all too much in the entire game. I think you got to consider a little bit that the level of competition dropped this week. Like, Chattanooga is not a very good team this year. But you can only play who you're up against. And I think last week we saw that, you know, that midfield shape got stretched and got, you know, found out defensively, especially in the second half. Didn't see that, you know, problem, at least this time around. So, you know, to be determined how it, you know, continues to go as they, you know, move ahead in the schedule and, you know, play teams with a little more potent attack. You know, we got Omaha next, we got Charlotte in 2 weeks. We'll see what they look like and also see what they look like on a non-city stadium field.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I mean, always going to Union Omaha is going to be interesting in itself. They got a good win. What was it, yesterday against?
They played Fuego.
Decent win. Not good win. We're going to replace that with decent win. Substitutions that happen. We saw Bentley come in, a little bit more. Do you think he could do that impact sub role? Do you think that fits him a little bit better this year than being an out and right starter, like to try to get him restarted?
I mean, yes, I think he can do the role. And I think any player you want to start, and I think unfortunately for him, you know, in this formation, you know, I guess you could probably play the Sierkowski position too, but I was really thinking that, you know, he might just be stuck behind Emmy right now. But, you know, I think he's got to, you know, get in there, you know, make, you know, kind of an impact. I thought he had a good, you know, 10 or so minutes when he did come in, you know, on Saturday. You know, got around the ball a little bit. I think he had, you know, one look where he had a shot blocked, you know, out of bounds. You know, so, you know, I think it's going to come for him. Yeah, I think it's, you know, might be frustrating in the meantime, you know, for him, just not getting the same number of minutes that, you know, he got last year, had been getting earlier this year. But, you know, it's about maximizing the chances when, you know, you get them. And yeah, I think he's the kind of guy where, you know, he gets one, he's going to get, you know, two or three in quick succession.
Yeah, it seems like it. also, we saw Carlton Belmar return to the bench. He came on pretty late, so it's not fair to evaluate him on that. But I know Darren probably like having that option there of having it. And I mean, honestly, going to the front two now without the wingers on there, you got a little bit more forward depth than what you had before. Because before you had, three spaces, four guys before you had a Sarakowski. Now you got two spaces and you got three guys sitting on the bench that you can bring on at any given moment.
Yeah, and that's not even kind of the, you know, deeper guys, you know, like, you know, your Olsons or your Pavones, who right now, you know, unfortunately, a little bit of, you know, guys without a home.
Yeah.
On the field.
Yeah, true. We also saw what Chandler came in.
Chandler got a good amount of run. He probably got like 20-25 minutes.
Yeah. I didn't see who he came in for. Was it Jao or Suka?
I think it was Jao, but I don't totally remember.
I feel like it might have been one of those two. I can't exactly remember fully. But also we saw Gabe Cox come in as well. I'm trying to remember, is this his season debut?
Home debut. He got in at the end of the Fuego game.
All right, there we go. Yeah, home debut. So, congratulations to him. Yeah, forgot to tweet it out last night, but congratulations to him on making his debut in front of the home fans as well. So, hopefully we can see a little bit more of him. I think, what did we say was a comfortable number of total minutes for the 18-year-old group? Because now we can remove Eli from that. It's only three. I think we said, like, what, like,
we said like 200, which I think we way overshot it.
Yeah. It kind of does. I think now there might be scratching 20. I think maybe. So we'll see. Hopefully, you know, Gabe can embed himself a little bit more. I'm assuming he's going to be a midfielder in this group because he seemed to be doing that at the end of the Chattanooga game.
Looks like it.
Yeah. This is a good point. Good 3 points for the Kickers. It moves them up into third temporarily, like we said, because, you know, Noco still has, what, two games coming up this week, NCFC, Ford, and Charlotte. Those four are kind of ahead of us. We're at the top of Charlotte right now, but they'll play a game on Tuesday, and based on results, might creep up ahead of us. How are you feeling about this month of June? It was an up and down rough conference.
I think they got to the level of passable with this win.
I'll take it.
Right? Okay. Yeah. I don't think you can call it a success, but it's not like an outright failure either.
No. I think we started the month in fifth and we end the month in third. So climb the table two spots, but there were, like you said, there were some questionable games in there. Ford game, the One Knox game, but there were also some good, decent wins in there as well. Not spectacular, but good wins, good points on the table. As we look forward to July, you know, how July's schedule folds out for the Kickers, kind of goes like this for the most part. Start off with One Knox. I mean, not One Knox. Union Omaha on the road. Then we got Charlotte at home. Noco. We go back out there on a Saturday. Lexington, the end of the month. So four games, only one at home. So you don't have City Stadium to rely on. How are you feeling about this upcoming month?
So there's that, you know, Comunicaciones friendly in the middle all that too, which, I mean, it's going to happen. So you got to at least factor that in a little bit, you know, between the Charlotte game and the NoCo game.
Play the backups. You can start the starter for 5 minutes. Tell them to run at 25% pace. Take them out. Play all the backups. I don't want to see Emmy going 60 in this. I don't want to see that.
But yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a tougher, you know, stretch coming up. Three away games. We know NoCo is good. Yeah, that's going to be a tough one to deal with. And then the one home game is Charlotte. They knocked us off at home before. So a little bit trickier stuff coming up, but. I think this is the kind of month where, the Kickers can decide, are we going to, potentially be contenders, or are we going to be scratching for a playoff spot?
Do you feel like this month you set it up to where we either, it could go one of three ways, I'm hearing from you, like we can contend for top of the table, be in the middle of the pack in that playoff hunt, or be like, all right, we might be scraping for a sixth spot?
Pretty much, because, like that Charlotte game's big because almost dead level with them right now. I think it's not too different. So that's going to be high competition for a home game, maybe even a bye. you know, as the season moves forward. You know, NoCo, we already said. Right now, if you look at points per game, they're blowing everybody out of the water. They just haven't played much yet. You know, so they're just hanging around like fourth or fifth place instead. But that's an illusion. Right now, they're going to move up the table unless the wheels completely fall off for them.
Yeah.
Then you got Omaha, who's always been solid, and they've just had a struggle at the start of the year. But I'm not willing to bet that they're going to stay struggling for forever.
Yeah.
You know, so you can go out, the Midwest, and that's been a stadium that's actually surprisingly been friendly to the kickers.
Which is weird. I've kind of some memorable moments there. What was it? Avon's header to win the game there.
Last year.
Comeback win.
Yep.
Last year. Nail's spiking penalty. Is there another good victory we got there? Or does it?
I think the only other one we had out there in 21 and it didn't go great. That was at the end of the tail end of the year. You know, almost held on for a draw and then gave up two late ones.
Yeah. Remember that. Yeah. So, I mean, we've done decent out there in Warner Park. This is probably, I'm not going to say hostile, but this isn't the Jay Mims team that uses that pitch as well as they have in years past. Four games. Maximum number of points you want out of this month to feel like it's a successful month.
Successful month for me, I think, is going to be seven.
Seven?
Right. Are we not counting Chattanooga from the other day as July?
Well, yeah, I'm not, because that was technically June. So from June itself, we got
the game of July 1, yo.
Oh, the game? Oh, snap. You can tell my fault. Yeah, all right, small fault. There's five. So
three already. The next four games, I think 7 points be a success, because I'm not counting on anything from NoCo.
Okay. Let's see. You already got three.
I'm not counting that. I'm not counting the Chattanooga three.
Okay. Oh, my fault. Yeah, you're right. If you just go with the four, a seven. I feel good with 7 points walking out.
Yeah, I think six could be acceptable depending on how it happens.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there are tough teams in there. I think the one, if you give me one of these games, is like you have to win one, it's the Lexington one. I think that's the must-win game of the month.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I think Lexington is the must-win game of the month. NoCo is tough. I feel like there's points to get out of Charlotte because they're struggling right now. If you go look at how they've played so far this month, last three games, and that'd be great. 2-0 loss to One Knox, 2-2 against Chattanooga, games that were up by two men and somehow still drew with Chattanooga. And then a 2-0 loss to NCFC. So that's a game that Richmond can go in there and kind of punch Charlotte in the mouth and get a good win out of. And
yeah, especially because those were all away games, and this will be an away game for them.
Yeah.
So they've been solid at home, but getting out on the road hasn't been the most friendly for them other than that game.
So, I mean, lots of fans, let us know what you think about that. Trying to think, what else? You say we got Conexiones. I haven't heard your opinions on it. Like, what would you want Darren to do in that game? Like, how would you want him to approach that game?
I mean, I think you got to give fans a little bit of a show. I'd rather let the depth guys get a good run out.
Be damned, the show. Mika, I know you're listening. Darren, I know you're listening. Connor, I don't know if you listen, but if you do, listen. Dakota, I know you're listening. Give them 10 minutes max. 10. Yeah. You can play them in intervals. You can play the front three the first 10 minutes. Take them out. Tell them, put the shoe sneakers on.
I think it'd be a lot more of a challenge if it was like a big English team or something like had been in the past, because I think the guys would actually be really excited to play in that game. then. I don't mean to be disrespectful to Comunicaciones. I don't know if it's going to carry any cachet with the guys on the teams. You're like, oh, wow, we're playing the biggest Guatemalan team.
Yeah. And that's cool. That's great. That's amazing. That's fun.
Yeah.
It can be an English team. I don't care. 10 minutes, max. You get a 10-minute cap. We're going to treat this like recess. You get 15 hard minutes. Sit down. Put these sneakers on. You get Hornsby. You put them in plastic wrap.
Oh, no. Hornsby doesn't see the field.
Oh, okay. I agree. Emmy, I'm kind of in the same bubble too. Emmy, we can just lie to Emmy and tell him the game not happening.
Emmy's proven to be durable, though. Like, I'm not as worried about him. The guys who seem to be slightly brittle, not it. Take it.
We put a nail in plastic wrap. You know what? The more I think about it now, honestly, I would let Belmar and Bentley start.
Yeah, see who gets them going.
Yeah, like let them go. I would tell Bentley, like, look, I want you to prep for 70 minutes. Go. You got 70 minutes. Same with Belmar. I mean, Belmar's been good this year. He leads the team in assists with 3 and what, 2 goals? But been inconsistent most. Let him go. Chris Cole, let him go. This could be a good game for Dwyer.
Mm-hmm.
Cox, Zhao, I'll give him 50.
Suko, I think he'll probably just run for days anyway, so I don't think him playing is going to hurt him.
Yeah, but Suko's another one that I will have to lie to him and be like, yeah, the game's not on the 18th, dude. It was the 17th. You already missed it. Don't worry about it. Like, just lie to him. Dakota, Ani. See, this is because we got asked the question yesterday, like, who we bring into this team right now to help them out? And I said, like, a left back, center back hybrid because they don't have another pure left footer on that side.
Yeah, Cole.
Yeah, but I mean, we've seen Cole at fullback.
I think it's still a midfielder.
Probably so.
There's Chandler, and then there's Cox, and yeah, great that he just got his first minutes, but I would like to have maybe a little bit more cover than just that for the midfield.
Yeah, maybe so. Do you think we get in one more signing? Do you think we bring in one more?
Maybe, because I think last year we brought in Gordon in, like, I don't remember what it was, like May or June. And then we brought in EVD a little bit later in the summer.
Well, also mention, like, I keep forgetting this. We still got EVD to come back, but I still remember it because they signed him back, but I'm like, just wait till next year, dude. No, like, I don't want to play around with that Achilles.
I mean, if he can go, he can go. I just think it's a question of where is he going to fit right now.
If you're talking about his current formation,
yeah,
put him in midfield.
Maybe, like,
he's a good ball carrier. He does a good, decent job defensively. He can, I think, like, if you look at the 4-4-2 diamond, the places Giles spot where he plays, because Neil's kind of in between the two strikers. I would put EVD there. Neil's kind of more to the outside. Giles more so in the middle. I think EVD can play that. Like, he does a good, he can be a good second striker.
Okay.
I'm just trying to think who else in the squad. Like, Simon's another one. I will lie to him, tell him the game was the 19th. He don't have to worry about it. I'm pretty sure Kira's not seeing the field in that game.
No, that's a Palmquist game.
Yeah, probably is probably gonna look a good 80. Do you think the 18-year-old Seaton, who, by the way, at Oracle, we're at the bottom of the Richard Thomas, which is cool. You think he gets like 20 minutes out there? Like, go play, kid.
Maybe he gets like 5.
yeah. And that's the thing, man. The more you think about it, the more I think about it, the depth in the squad isn't there as much as I thought it would be. Well, not that I thought it would be, but it's kind of light. Like, I know there's, what, 20 names on the roster or 23 names on the roster, but like once you get past 15, you're kind of just like, I don't think you're going to play.
Well, I mean, it's not – we don't have, like, you know, Premier League money where you can have, you know, two full squads at all times. And
yeah, that's true. That's true, too.
So, you ready to hop into, you know, your top threes?
Yeah, I am. I'm really excited for this one. Outside of it just being a victory podcast, I am excited to talk about the top threes. Right. So I'll start. So number three, 3 points. I'm going to give it to Will. He made some important saves. He was strong off his line, made some good punches in the air, had some good quality saves, helped direct the back line when the back line was trying to pass the ball out the back. Like, Simon's one pass that I did not know where he was passing it to. Could not tell you. I don't think Simon can tell you where he's passing it to. I will give it to Suko. He did a lot of hard running in this game. So much so that Chattanooga players were trying to foul him and weren't successful in it. And he had a lot of good Rico play, giving the ball off to Neil to let him get dangerous and whatnot. And then my one, I will give it to Dakota. Cleaned up a lot of balls in the air. Had a good chance on goal. And once again, you could tell why he's a good veteran center back to have in the roster.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, this was a tough one, you know, be able to narrow it down because a lot of guys played well. You know, so yeah. Some weeks it's really easy. Some weeks it's hard for the other reason of how do I get to three guys. But you know, for me, I gave my three to Suko. You know, a lot of the same reasons you had. I thought he was everywhere. I thought he was, you know, really doing a good job of pulling the strings in the midfield, you know, really, you know, running things in transition, you know, quite a bit. I was really impressed with what he brought to the team this week.
Yeah.
My two, I went with Neil.
Okay.
You know, not only did he get on the score sheet, but again, midfield, he really, you know, did a good job of holding the ball, you know, advancing the ball into the attack, you know, finding, you know, Jake, you know, moving up, you know, the you know, touch line, you know, being able to connect with Emmy, connect with Ryan up front. You know, it started to look a little bit more like classic Neil Vigneault's.
Yeah.
And then my one, I gave it to Emmy. He got the goal, but I think the other thing that I liked, and you know, I asked him about this in the post game, is, you know, why did he give up, you know, that second penalty, you know, to Neil? And he, you know, said it's because you know Neil is his brother. He wants to be able to see him do well, and he knew it would be important, you know, for, you know, Neil to, you know, be able to get himself, you know going and, you know, work to continue to build that confidence out there. I don't think anybody in the world would have blamed Emmy if he took that penalty, you know, got his eighth goal, you know, went up the stats, but he was already, you know, thinking, you know, bigger than that, and, you know, really looking at the team side of things. So that portion of it too, you know, decided that deserved a 1 point.
Yeah. Can't disagree on that.
Yeah. But I mean, like you said, there are lots of other good options. Like, I considered Dakota, you know, considered, you know, Ryan, you know. So, you know, plenty of, you know, choice, and that's always a good thing.
Yeah. It's better to have a lot of good choices than I think sometimes we did is we had no choice and we're like, like, yeah, we might be skipping this week.
Yeah, so this guy had that one good pass this game. Sure, him.
Yeah, him. Pick him. So, outside of that, not too much to really speak on Union Omaha. I wouldn't say having the same seasons as us, but I feel like it's a game that could go either way. It'd be great if we could get a win out of there on the road. A draw's not the end of the world.
Either. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, draw's not the end of the world. Anything else from you, my good man, before we wrap up?
No, I mean, like I said, you know, great fireworks show after the game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on Saturday, you know, great crowd sticking around. You love, you know, to be able to see that, and you know, just keeping the good momentum in the stands going. We've said it before, but Camp and the whole back office team, they're doing great work this year, because you compare what City Stadium looks like now versus what it looked like even a few years ago, and it's night and day.
Yes, it is. It's totally night and day. It's a testament to the hard work they're doing. The crowds are growing. They're being steady and consistent. Because I'm not going to lie, like, the first 5K crowd, I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. It's home opener. But then when you start seeing them being consistent, you're kind of just like, oh, no, they're here to stay. And I think the biggest indication is the amount of, like, kickers gear. Not just jerseys, mm-hmm. but, like, gear I'm seeing. I'm seeing, like, shirts, hats, like, old-school kickers jerseys coming into the crowds. Like, it's like, oh, snap. Like, now this is dope.
Yeah, people are actually, you're not just here for the day.
Yeah. Yeah. And people want to come out to the tailgates and whatnot, which, by the way, come out to the River Red Army tailgate. It happens at the bottom of the hill, right near the away team player entrances. Come by there, hang out with us, get a beer, get a hot dog, have some good time. But, yeah, Matt, as always, it's always a pleasure to do the show with you, my good friend.
Likewise. More fun on these weeks than some of those other ones, but let's do more of these.
Yeah, Victory Podcasts are cool. Next week's show, I won't be on. So we'll have Alex from League One Updater on the show to talk about a hopeful Richmond win, which would be awesome. So with that being said, for Matt and myself, we will holler at you guys next week after Kickers win. So holler at y'all. Be easy. Be safe.